Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, who created us, sustains us, and brings us to this new day. Amen. So as a teenager growing up in Bangor, Maine, we didn't have a lot of large concerts that came through. But word got out that the fans of Bob Zimmerman were going to get together for a rally at the world-famous Bangor Auditorium on such a night. Now, if you're a devotee of Robert Zimmerman, you know that he goes by another name, right? Bob Dylan. Yeah. So Bob Dylan was bringing the Rolling Thunder Review to the Bangor Auditorium, and a certain individual whom you may know stayed in line overnight to get tickets. It was great. One of the songs that I remember very strongly from that night was, "You're Gonna Serve Somebody." And the lyrics, which I'm about to very loosely translate, goes something like this. "You may be a king, you may be a president on high, you may be a pauper just trying to get by, but sooner or later, you're going to serve somebody. Oh yeah, you're going to serve somebody." So let me ask you this question this morning. Who will you serve? Who are you going to serve? Now, if we're honest with ourselves, that's a question that is not altogether comfortable for us. Because as a culture and as a species, we tend to prize freedom and accomplishment and autonomy and self-determination. And the list could go on and on and on. Which is why if we slow down and take this question seriously, we recognize how much it grates against us, both ourselves as individuals and as our culture. As a matter of fact, I shudder to think how much time we spend resisting it, the idea that we don't have to serve it. Now, this assertion that you will always serve something or someone, whether you know it or not, is at the very heart, not simply of that question I asked you, but of Mark's gospel, if you take a look at it. Note, for instance, the careful literary structure that Mark puts together of this larger section of his gospel, of Jesus' march to Jerusalem, and the energy that he puts to it, and his three predictions that he gives. Actually, I guess announcements would be more like it, of his impending death. Let me take you back to chapter 8, just a few weeks ago. Jesus cures a blind man at Bethsaida. But it doesn't seem to take it first. Remember, he asked the blind man, "What do you see?" After he put the paste on his eyes, he said, "I see men walking, but as sticks or trees." And he does it again, Jesus does, and the man's eyes are open and he sees fully. And then Jesus makes his first pronouncements to his disciples of what's going to take place. And his disciples are terrified. And then they continue on. We come to chapter 9, still moving closer and closer to Jerusalem, closer and closer to the ending we have heard so many times before. We know how this story plays out. And yet, Mark calls us to hear it fresh. This is for the first time. Jesus repeats his declaration that he's going to die in Jerusalem, a pronouncement that terrifies his disciples into silence. Until, that is, they begin to argue among them as who will be the greatest. Because you see, they just don't get it. They're trying to, but they just don't get it. Jesus' words take time to sink in. So, as if to dramatize the point, he takes a child and places the child among them and says, look, if you're going to follow me, you must be like one of these children, the least of our society, and treat them as if they are the first. And just in case it doesn't ring true, we now come to chapter 10, to the passage we just heard. And it's interesting that he says again, though we didn't hear it this morning, in the verses just prior to the section allotted to today's reading, that once again he is going to go to Jerusalem and he is going to be put to death. And again, the disciples don't get it. So first, James and John come up to Jesus and they say, look, we'd like you to do anything we ask. Now, if that's not a loaded question, I don't know what is. You know? And Jesus said, certainly. What is it that you ask of me? He doesn't put any conditions on it. He doesn't say, well, maybe, what is it that you want? Or, well, perhaps, if I can. He just simply says, sure, what would you like me to do? And they say, let us stand in glory, either on your right or your left, when you come into your own glory. You see? They want special places of honor. And the rest of the disciples get ticked off because they didn't think to ask it first. Right? Jesus' words still haven't sunk in, you see? They haven't taken hold yet. So he says as plainly and as clearly as he possibly can that to be great and to serve others and to be first is to be last. And if you want to be a leader, serve. Serve. And in that way, your leadership is justified. And people look to you as if we are walking together. Not that you're way out front telling them how to live, how to do. Do you see how radical this is? How 2,000 plus years later, we still have difficulty grasping it? And it's interesting if you'll note that Mark goes to great length to show this aspect of servant leadership. At the beginning, what does Jesus do? He brings sight to a blind man. And at the conclusion, what occurs again? Another blind man is given sight. And so let me ask you once again, who will you serve? The voices of the culture that say to be free, indeed, you must be first. Be on your own at any cost is what it's about. We prize those who can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. I don't worry about anyone else. I have mine. To be first again. To be great again. See the incredible dichotomy between what we are hearing over and over and over in the public square and what Jesus calls us to over and over and over again. That as we lose ourselves in service, Jesus tells us, we find our true calling, our true identity as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. that we are in this together, you and I. That I can't do this without you. You can't do this without those who work with you, who help you, who care for you, who recognize that first and foremost, you are neither Republican or Democrat, you are neither straight nor gay, you are neither black or white or Hispanic. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. I think that bears repeating. We are children of God. That's who we are. And God calls us to fullness of life. Jesus calls us to abundance of riches, not that we lord it over those in the public square, as the Gentiles are so wont to do, and as the Gentiles still do today. No. But because of these gifts that we are given, we are able to live fully into the lives of those we share, in the paths that we share, and those who walk by our side, and those who stumble so that we can help them be picked up. Because sooner or later, I don't know about you, but I'm going to fall on my face. And I'm not going to be able to get back up by myself. But only through the grace of God manifested in those who walk with me will I be able to do it. So who are you going to serve? The very fact that we have a choice in this question, to me, speaks profoundly of the love that God gives to us, the ability to choose, to make our own choices, and to love us no matter how poorly we choose, over and over and over again. That's God's love, God's presence. How I want to serve. For we are set free by God's promise and power to serve others. And when we do, you know what?